Hello for episode 124 of the Nerd Extravaganza podcast, where our hair is traditionally colored, our language sometimes less so. I'm Tom.
I'm Eric.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Nick.
And tonight we revisit the topic of geekdom's influence on the fashions of the day. I know we have discussed this in past episodes with regard to sort of geek attire being on sale at major retailers. But now we're going to go in a more personal direction with this episode, specifically with hair, because that's very relevant to me and hopefully to the rest of the cast. So harebrained as that idea may sound, we recommend that you stick around for what should be a pretty interesting episode. But first, let's comb through the events of the past week to find the makings of a weekly geekly geekly weekly update. Brian, why don't you go first, man? What have you been up to?
The only thing that I remember before tonight is MizuCon. I was at a convention Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I bathed. You know, I don't have the cleanliness problem you often associate with cons, but there's no food at conventions, so it was pretty much 20 hours of fasting and then like a gorge. I ordered a pound of rice and a pound of pork from a local Cuban place, thinking me and all of my friends would share in that bounty, and then none of them wanted it, so I ate it.
Oh no. All of it?
Yeah, some of the pork was a little too fatty, but everything that was like humanly consumable was consumed.
Wow, and then you just broke down and ate the fat and grizzle, didn't you?
No. It was mysteriously missing in the morning. I think a house elf came and picked that up to prevent me from suffering that shame at breakfast.
Wow. Nice.
The crispy pork fat is usually the best part of the pork.
It was very, very crispy. I like break your teeth crispy.
Eric, what do you think about that part of the pork being the best?
It makes for an outstanding football.
Nice. So some gorging post MizuCon, and that pretty much it for you, or?
Yeah. We were there. I was there with my buddy Lester doing the photography thing that we've talked about before. We took a bunch of really killer photos. Kind of a smaller, like I call them like friendly cons. You know, good community, fun events, as opposed to, you know, meet Stan Lee or whatever. But man, some of them really went crazy with the costumes. Just some killer stuff.
Cool, man. Anything else?
That's it. That's all I remember, at least.
Okay. What about you, Nick? What have you been up to?
Ooh, yikes. I've been out of the geekly realm this past week. I've really been just not really doing a whole lot of it. I mean, if I had to mention something, I've really been chugging through Lost, and I know I said that last week, I'm halfway through season 3, but I've heard that eventually it's going to turn to shit, so I guess I should enjoy it for what it is for now. Have you heard, like, I know there was strong criticism against the show, like, did you guys ever hear that, or you guys ever watch it?
I assiduously avoided Lost because I got so tired of people talking about it all the time, so it made me hate it without ever watching it when it was running, and basically, in like the first season, guys were in the office saying, oh, they're dead, they're in purgatory. And that's pretty much what ended up being the case at the end.
Yeah.
And then the creators were like backpedaling, no, that's not it. I mean, that evidently appears to be it, but that is not it. So, no Lost for me. I'm kind of a Lost hater, to be honest.
I love Lost, and I've actually watched through the whole thing twice. And you're not wrong in saying that it will go to shit. What does happen, however, is it goes on a weird roller coaster for a show. It starts awesome, and it gets more awesome. And then by season 2, it's really awesome. And then in season 3, it starts to slow down a bit and get weird, and you're like, I have no idea where they're going. By season 4, it gets amazing again, and then it just totally crashes.
Oh. All right, then I guess I'll see what happens then, how I take it. But apparently that's the route it's going to take. Then so be it. I'll keep going because I've already invested this much time, so I might as well.
Enjoy the ride, because the show itself was fantastic. It just ended on a piss-poor note.
Yeah.
On the bright side, you already know they're dead, so you can quit and whenever you want now.
I'm going to save this for the record. They're not dead.
Yeah, they are. They died in the plane crash, and then they all meet in, like, a church in purgatory at the end. It's so stupid.
No, where he is, they're definitely not dead.
Yeah, definitely not. So when that time comes, then I'll see how I weigh in on it.
Great. Feel free to share. I will make sure to be out that episode.
But yeah, that's about it for me on my end.
Awesome. That means Eric's up. What's up, man?
Actually, my update has totally to do with Nick's, in that last week he mentioned he was doing all of these kind of awesome binge watchings, and I was jealous because he was binge watching shows I've already binge watched to death. Because I have nothing to binge watch right now, and it's been annoying, so I went back to an old passion, which was documentaries. I love documentaries. I'm absolutely fascinated with documentaries. They can be honestly about anything. They can be historic. They can be nature ones. They can be medical innovations. All of it. I love every last one of them. Even like the really stupid, like behind the scenes movies documentaries, I love those. So the two that have caught my attention this week that were really awesome of all the ones that I watched, the first, they're both on Netflix, by the way. So if anyone wants to watch them, that's where you're going to find them. The first one is called I Know That Voice. And it is a documentary all about animation voice actors, which was awesome. John DiMaggio plays a big chunk of it, obviously, because he does 90% of the voices in cartoons nowadays, which is very cool. They do a huge homage to Mel Blanc, which was awesome. But what I didn't know that I learned from that, and this goes back to Lost, although this character hasn't shown up yet in Lost, I'm going to spoil the crap out of stuff for you right now. But it's too late. If you're watching Lost now, tough. So I can't remember the actor's name, but he was the Kurgan in The Highlander. He was the guard in Shawshank Redemption. And he is on Lost as the original guy in the hatch when they do a flashback to that. Now, that guy is kind of known for playing a badass all the time. Like, he just plays an awesome jerk on screen constantly in every role he's ever been in. He's the voice of Mr. Krabs on SpongeBob. I had no idea. And seeing a documentary with him in it where he's just like being smiley, sweet old man was really weird. But it was still a great documentary. The other one, and you guys are going to get sick of hearing this crap, is a Netflix exclusive original, which is called Print the Legend, which is all about the up-and-coming business of 3D printing. But it's more the behind-the-scenes, the marketing, the people behind it, the competitive nature of the industry now that it's taken off. It makes those comparisons to Steve Jobs and Woz in the early days of Apple computers. It's a pretty awesome documentary. And it leads into the next point, which I have to make, which is I almost didn't record this episode until I said screw it. I love our fan. Wait, we have more than one now, or is it one?
Yeah, the crate has family.
Right. I love our fan so much that I was willing to potentially lose a finger over this episode, because earlier I was removing some 3D printed parts from the plate, which sticks really well. They suggest you put like the blue tape down and print on that so you can peel it up and then remove the tape, but it leaves a really unfinished look to the bottom side of whatever you print. It kind of just gets mushed. It doesn't look really clean. So I printed without that because I was printing some gears that needed to be really finished. They stuck like crazy to the plate. So I attempted to pry them off with a screwdriver, followed by some parts. By the way, that worked. So I followed that up with printing some Star Trek logos for a friend. And when I attempted to pry them up the same way, the screwdriver slipped, stabbing me through my middle finger on my right hand. Oof. And the Star Trek logo slipped, stabbing me on my thumb on my left hand. I got punctured by a Star Trek logo. But the thumb is fine, but when I took the bandage off my middle finger, it is really gaping. So stitches might wait for tomorrow. I butterflied it shut, and it finally stopped bleeding again. And hopefully it'll be fine. It's not hurting so much, but it does have a nice pulse.
Hey, you got no sympathy for me, man. You had a solution right there. You could have 3D printed yourself up one of those medical tricorder devices or whatever and just healed the wound. So,
I'm going to be honest with you. If I lose the finger, I'm 3D printing a finger. I'm not getting like a crappy prosthetic. I'm making my own finger.
You should. Awesome.
And the fact that it's my middle finger makes it that much better.
To have lost your finger in service to 3D printing, I think, again, just further cements your bona fides for participating in this podcast. That is cool. That's a cool story. I'm actually glad you got hurt that way.
Yeah, I wouldn't have much to talk about if I didn't.
Apparently not. Well, any other injuries to discuss?
No, that's about it for me.
Okay. I am going to use my floor time. Not so much to give an update, although I will say that I did watch all of the episodes of South Park that are on Hulu, so I've now watched the entire series, except for those that were banned because of the sensibilities of religious nutjobs. That said, I will now move on to my rant. This is sort of internet-related, definitely Facebook-related. I am annoyed to no end by the, like, photo affirmations, photo fortunes, photo parables or whatever that you see on Facebook. Basically, it's a picture, and it's either, like, a sassy woman saying, oh, so you don't like me being empowered and awesome, and then, you know, tagline, or it's a picture of a cute cuddly animal with some kind of a stupid, like, friends are forever, or it's one of those, like, look how bitter I am, you know, a real lover will never leave you in the lurch, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about, like these annoying, like, I'm trying to come up with a name for them, but they're quite irritating to me. Anyway, right before this episode, I encountered one that I've seen a lot, and I think it's really appropriate. It's a picture of a bunch of, like, 1980s era BMX bikes piled in a front yard, and the caption reads, before cell phones and social networks, this is how we figured out where our friends were. And this type of whatever these things are gets on my nerve, particularly because it's a back in my day thing. And what is more annoying than that? I never thought I would be part of the generation that was like, ah, back in my day, we rode bikes, but these are definitely bikes from back in my day. And I have to say, as the representative of the current, like, curmudgeonly, like, things were better when I was a kid generation, things kind of sucked back then. I would rather have had a cell phone to just text somebody to know where they were instead of riding around the neighborhood looking for somebody. And, you know, it was the 80s, so there were child molesters in weird vans offering candy at every corner. You know, I didn't want to be out there riding my bike. To conclude this mini rant, I'm just saying, things were not necessarily better in the past. There really, honestly, were no good old days. And damn it, please stop posting these stupid Facebook advice photos, and specifically those pertaining to how great things were back in the day.
You know, I got in a debate online recently about the current Ebola scare. And, you know, to me, I'm kind of laughing about it because we've had a billion scares. We've had H1N1, we've had SARS, we've had swine flu and bird flu and whatever else. And we know the reality is that we've got it pretty much under control on our own soil. But this person insisted on simply arguing via meme, and I couldn't handle it. I basically exploded.
Are these just colloquially, like, memes now? Is this what it means to... Is a meme is just a photo with text over it now?
That's what it has become, definitely, without a doubt.
That in no way conforms to the definition of meme.
It's been hijacked.
All right, these stupid memes need to... I won't say they need to go, because sometimes they're clever and funny and entertaining, but I get it. You're the superhero of your own personal life, and Facebook is your hero story, and you're going to tell the world about how you're special, and you don't deserve all the slings and arrows that come your way, and you're going to persevere where others don't, and you're different than everybody else, and blah, 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 blah. Just shut up! You're not special! And riding bikes instead of using a cell phone to call your friends sucked.
I'll hijack your rant to say that if you are a special superhero or a unique lily or, you know, a special snowflake, whatever, speak a language. Don't just speak in pictographs on Facebook.
Ooh, pictographs. Is that a more appropriate term, Brian, for what we're talking about?
I think it is. It just feels like we're going to need a Rosetta Stone to communicate with the future at some point.
We just have modern day hieroglyphs.
It drives me nuts. You don't have to speak my language, but speak a language.
But you know what the reality is if you get in an argument with someone who insists on using memes, the only way to really turn it around on them is to present them with a meme that makes them look stupider. It's the only way you could actually win the argument, because they're not going to listen to your reason because it's not in picture form. And to go to my point, I'm having this Ebola argument with the guy. And when I find... This is what broke him. is that I finally pointed out that the term meme was coined by Richard Dawkins, an evolutionary biologist.
Oh, is it really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
You ever hear that joke about arguing with idiots and how it's very similar to winning the Special Olympics?
I have indeed.
Yikes.
I'm trying to think, and maybe winning the argument's not the point.
It's not at that point. It really isn't.
Just try to distance yourself.
I want to point out one more. There's a hidden joke at your expense that you don't get if you bust out the Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka.
Oh, man.
Like, that smirk is directed at you for abusing this thing. Like, you think this conversation-ending photo is somehow making your point? It's not. And Gene Wilder would slap you if he saw you using it.
I wish I could tell you that I haven't seen that in meme form, but I have.
Oh, it's everywhere. I mean
with the dialogue that you just said.
I'm sure somebody has used it by now.
That one, the form in which that one's usually served up, and it starts with, oh, XYZ? Tell me more about that. Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
So yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with what you said, Brian. At least let's communicate in something a little less unwieldy. There's a reason we went away from hieroglyphics and to the written word. And you can't blame those darned kids, because a lot of the people posting these, and this definitely includes the one with the BMX bikes, are my age. They're actually from my generation, and I'm ashamed to say that they, one, think that it was cool to be a kid in the 80s versus being a kid now, and two, don't know how to write.
We discussed a few weeks ago how the magic box we all carry in our pockets now magically translates any written language into your language. It's never been easier to communicate with someone through written language. I don't see the need for, like, cave scratchings now.
Cave scratchings. Eric, did you have something to add, sir?
The irony of people posting the picture of the bicycles is that they're doing it on social media via their phone, most likely.
I did see one of those, like, staked in the front yard a couple of houses down.
I think I'm going to take this stupid photo, and, like, the next time somebody posts it, I'm going to just, like, do the red marker effect through whatever the punchline is at the bottom, and just write in the same red marker before, so that it reads, before cell phones and social networks, I'm just going to put life sucked. Because it kind of did. Maybe not so much the social networks, but the cell phones are amazing.
Yeah, do you not remember having pagers? I had a pager.
I did not. I refused. The pager was just such a unwieldy device. Like, okay, so now I'm out doing my business and somebody paged me, so now I have to go find a phone and interrupt what I'm doing to call them back.
Oh, it got much worse than that.
It's not like the message is being text to you. You have to, like, know these certain, like, numbers.
143.
143-911. 411. There were a couple others that were all... There was a lot of 666 for no reason whatsoever. Aside from, you know, it being 666. But I figured out ultimately, like, Tom mentioned that you have to find a phone and then call the person back. But I'll take it one step further. And I'm going to preface this by saying, Mom, I know you're listening to this, and I really love you, and I'm sorry, but I have to. So I got a pager, and that pager 90% of the time, was a page from my mother with a million 911s. Now, at the time, I was 16, 17. I had a car. I obviously didn't have a phone, because unless you were rich, and or you wanted to carry around a giant suitcase of a phone, you didn't have a car phone, because there was no cell phone, it was a car phone. So I would be on 95 or wherever, and I would get this 911 call. So now I have to pull off the road. Not just walk to find a phone, but pull off the road, find a payphone, find a quarter, put the quarter in the payphone, call, and actually have to know the number, because we don't know anyone's number now, just for my mom to go, "What you doing?"
Yeah.
Right. So there you go. Another case in point. Life before cell phones, before voicemail, even before social networks, before instant messaging, before the internet. sucked. Don't let anybody tell you it was great. Oh, back in my day, we didn't have the internet. We had to go find our porn in dumpsters. It sucked.
We didn't have 3D printed fingers.
Right. I mean, depending on how far back you want to go, if you got a cut, you died. So, I hate to say it, the general trajectory of the human condition, apart from some obvious periods where there were, like, really bad hiccups, has been toward the positive, in my opinion. And maybe we have lost some things along the way, but on balance, I think we're doing better. I think now we've sort of tiptoed into our topic, but we'll just do a clean segue into tonight's topic now, which gets us a little back more on the geek side of things. Let's talk about hair.
Long, beautiful hair.
Precisely, precisely. Specifically, long, beautiful anime-style hair. And let me motivate discussion by bringing up a little anecdote from my past. Back when I was an adolescent to teenage anime watcher, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who is not a part of this podcast, full disclosure, so don't think I'm trying to hide anybody's identity here. And he said, man, I can't wait. I really hope, like, someday in the future, like, the style from anime comes in. Like, girls color their hair all crazy different colors, because I think it's really awesome. To which I added, yeah, and those cat ear things would be cool, too. Now, full disclosure, because I don't like to hide anything from our audience, I said my teenage years or adolescence, but now that I'm thinking about it, this conversation might have taken place in my early to mid-20s. I don't know. But that said, I think younger version me's dream has sort of come true, because we now see the women of the world sporting all kinds of colors, and it seems like there's no end in the variety and the sort of gradients you can achieve in a single head of hair. And I think it's cool. So before I move on to my main point, do you guys agree? I mean, I think this is a cool trend.
Yeah, no, I get you. It's it definitely is, and I think in my teen years, I think that's when it was really starting to kind of come through, but I don't think it's nearly as – it wasn't as big as it is today, for sure.
Yeah. Brian, Eric, you guys fans of this particular style?
You know what? Here's my issue with it, is I am a fan, but I'm also in my late 30s.
Ah.
So you're not allowed to be a fan.
Yeah, there's that. Like, I would have to find someone in a relatively legal age range that's willing to have colorful hair and wear cat ears. It's not impossible, but it's difficult.
I meet women around my age that are adventurous with their hairstyle. Of course, being in Seattle half a year helps. It's probably a little more accepted up here, but yeah, I feel a little bit ripped off. Like, maybe this is something that I missed by a few years. But still, it's still cool to see.
Agreed.
Okay, great. Now that we've all agreed that it's cool, I want to get onto my main point, which is probably a little bit of wishful thinking. I always like to overestimate the influence of our culture, of the culture enjoyed by listeners to this show, let's say, on broader culture and fashion. So I guess what I want to know is, has this fashion been informed, or did it grow out of the sensibilities of anime or manga, or is it just something that came about because hair dye technology reached a certain threshold where they can now just go wild?
I think you could probably say both.
Ah.
Should I elaborate? I mean, like...
No, end of episode.
Done.
We got our answer. Peace, guys.
But the way you put that, Tom, like, yeah, I think definitely the... Like, hair dye is definitely, I guess, I don't know, safer or like, is more, like, there's more variety to it. And then just, like, the nerd culture has become so mainstream that, you know, it's kind of in tune with, like, people cosplaying. But now are you just saying, like, if they're cosplaying or just as a normal sense of fashion to have dyed hair like that, whether it be, like, blue, green, pink, purple?
Well, I definitely saw it either in wig form or dye form being adopted within the cosplay scene before the mainstream, but I guess I'm wondering if the mainstream acceptance grew out of cosplay, grew out of manga and anime fandom.
It's a hard judgment call for me to make because I was always surrounded by it regardless of what community I was in. I grew up in the punk rock kind of scene and community, and you know, there was always hair dye like the Manic Panic that everyone would buy at their local Sally's Beauty Supply. And I was always surrounded by girls who were willing to dye their hair green or blue or pink. That was absolutely nothing new, or just flat out bleach it white altogether. So I don't really remember where the transition was from one culture to the next. It was just always a part of my surroundings.
Yeah, Brian might back me up on this one. I don't know what set it was in high school because I kind of didn't belong to a set. But do you remember that set that of women that I used to kind of lust after from afar in my somewhat shy and awkward way who, well, women, these were high school girls, but who were not at all shy about adding shocks of color to their hair?
Yeah, it was the goth chicks.
Okay, I guess were they officially goths or was that like proto-goth at the time? Yeah, you know, come to think of it, yeah, they did wear the like uncomfortable looking dark clothing with like netted.
A lot of dark clothing in Florida in the summer.
right. Yeah, so it was kind of a fringe thing back then, though, I think is the point, right? Even among your set, Eric, you would agree that that was not necessarily representative of the mainstream when you were a Ute.
No, it was definitely not mainstream. It got looks. And I'm obviously, if you're in the punk rock or kind of goth community, that might be the point, is to kind of, you know, stand out, look different, or even get those looks intentionally. But my point is that I don't recall where the transition happened because it was just kind of always around me. So there was, I'm sure, a transition from the underground, let's say, to the mainstream. I just have no idea where that happened.
Okay, so anime fandom exploding into the mainstream is just as plausible an explanation as any, as far as you're concerned.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Our culture has kind of changed. I always point out that if I was who I am now in today's society as a kid in high school, I probably would have got picked on a whole lot less, because nerdy is cool now, which is mildly obnoxious. You know, the whole nerd chic thing is an actual thing, and I'm sure that's part of the topic tonight.
It is.
There was absolutely no place for us back then, and you were just baiting yourself as a target, essentially, by doing it then. I mean, I specifically remember, like, because I was way into video games and stuff like that, and I remember the kids who did the AV stuff, which I did some AV stuff, kind of knew how to load some hacked games that they had or downloaded games onto the computers in the AV room, so we would play really crappy PC games in there. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to play crappy PC games during my time at school. That was not something that helped me get surrounded by cool kids.
Yeah, I kind of remember the shareware network in school where you would like pass off a disc with Ultima on it to your friend who you would meet like third period, and the same disc got passed around between multiple kids before going to computer lab or whatever.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Those were the old days. Things were so much better back then, before networks and the internet and nice graphics. God, Nick, you missed out, man. I'm sorry, but you just don't understand how much better things were back in our day.
Tom just inadvertently hit on what I think is the answer. I think the tech boom is responsible for all this.
Oh, interesting.
People, you know, fuddy-duddies or whatever, your corporate Americas, wanted to invest in technology and had to hire people with crazy hair and tattoos all over. There was no one else who could do it.
That actually makes perfect sense. And it is a part of how our culture changed, because regardless of who was the face of these companies or who we were seeing, ultimately all of these changes converted our culture into... I mean, we look at words like gamer. Gamer was something very specific even 10 years ago. When you said the word gamer, I knew exactly what you were talking about. I had an image in my head of what a gamer was like. Now you say it, and it could be anyone with a cell phone.
I don't even know what kind of game you're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now that I kind of got Brian's views about how these fashions sort of entered the mainstream, and I've kind of just like fixated on girl hair because that was a prominent example from my youth, but I think it goes without saying that there are a lot of guys running around with superhero t-shirts on and video game stuff these days who probably maybe are posers. I don't know. I don't want to call them that. But now that we've sort of established that it definitely grew out of a subculture, and I really like Brian's theory about it like being a triumph of the nerds. Like, look, you got to hire us, and these are the terms on which we will be hired. Let's move on to the point that Eric sort of touched on, which is the geek bubble. We definitely talked about this in a several episodes back when we were talking about basically like Batman and Minecraft shirts being on sale at Target. And I think it definitely bears a second look given this topic. When is the backlash coming? When is the bubble collapsing? When are we going to see like hair dye stock plummet as a boring Sunday football watching mainstream reasserts its dominance?
I've always felt that this was kind of a marketing ploy. I don't feel kinship with those people. And that's not to say they're not allowed to enjoy Star Wars or that they don't read comic books or that they're posers or anything like that. But they don't have the shared background. They're mainstream, so what they're doing has stayed mainstream. But even now, I mean, I'm still fringe. I'm still kind of a reject. So I don't think it's a matter of, oh, what we did became popular.
And you don't feel that the mainstreaming of what we did has made life a little easier on you? You don't feel any more sort of accepted or part of the mainstream in your day-to-day life? I mean, we're adults now. It's not like we're like kids trying to hang out in high school, but you get my point.
Not exactly. I never felt all that picked on or all that, you know, I say reject, but I never felt repulsed. What I feel is that there's a middleman now.
A middleman?
We were way out there. And then there was normal. And now there's kind of like, you got chocolate in my peanut butter. No, you got peanut butter in my chocolate. Now there's like this thing in the middle of us.
Okay, so there's if you want to look, think of it as like a Venn diagram, there's now this intersection.
Right, we're like a little crescent moon off to the side.
Right. The intersection is the majority of our set, and we're the tiny little outlier in that circle. I hope these Venn diagram references are popping immediately to everybody's mind. If you're listening to this podcast, they probably are.
If you don't get it, you're in the center.
I want to directly answer your question, because your question was, when will it die? Like, when will this wave of kind of geek bubble, when will it pop, when it's going to burst? The bad news is never. And I don't actually think that's even bad news. I'm just answering your question in that form, because here's the reality. It's not a geek bubble anymore. It has done something that doesn't die. It has become pop culture. Pop culture doesn't die. It hits highs and lows. It hits revivals. It's what we call retro, but it never officially dies. And this is true for everything that has been pop culture throughout our history, at least as a nation, if not further. Because we see trends come and go that are part of pop culture that continue to come back, even if they've had long, long droughts. A perfect example is the bow tie. It's a perfect example. Even black-rimmed glasses were pop culture in the 50s. Guess what? They're back as pop culture again. And they will always continue to be. That trend will not die.
In those cases, are we not seeing sort of the kind of stupid hipster ironic representation of those elements, of those cultural elements? Or does it even matter?
Does that make it not count?
Yeah, how does that any different from the early 2000s with the resurgence of, like, the iron-on t-shirt?
a fair point. Or
we just have actually a name for it now.
We do. Or for that matter, the October to December 1999 resurgence of swing music.
Yeah, exactly. And again, we just have a name for it now.
Yeah, that's a good point. So in a certain sense, this stuff is here to stay, and it may wax and wane, but we may never see it completely gone.
I'm going to argue that not only is it here to stay, it's going to stay stronger than things have in the past, and that's going to continue to be a trend. And the reason is, it's recorded. Pop culture trends that have died because there's no real good, strong record of those trends. That's never going to be the case again.
You're right. Parachute pants just were not, like, adequately documented. Hence, they are no longer a thing, right?
I would put good money, and it may not even be in my lifetime, but they'll be back. They will absolutely be back. Z Cavaricci's will be back.
Oh, joy.
And you have to understand something. I hate 90s fashion. I hate it. I hate it so much because, to me, it was the worst fashion trend in my lifetime thus far. However, I walk around, I see mom jeans. Do you see mom jeans?
I do see mom jeans. I do see mom jeans. I also see flannel making a pretty strong comeback, which means we're going to backslide into day-glow and massive pleated pants.
But you know what? When we were in the 90s, we laughed at how stupid the fashions of the 70s and 80s were. Guess what people are wearing now?
Mom jeans.
Well, they were before that, before the mom jeans resurgence, we were wearing the fashions of the 70s and 80s again.
Actually, you're right. People wear the, like, ducky fedora around and stuff. Like, seriously, don't they?
Yeah.
can somebody... Man, this is slightly off topic, but can somebody explain the mom jeans thing? Like, otherwise, like, attractive women running around wearing these awful pants.
You know, you're going to get a lot of flack for this one. And I'm afraid to take sides on this one. All I can say is that personally, I don't like them as a fashion statement. But I can say that about lots of things, both male and female. That's really all I can say about it.
Wait, why am I?
Oh, I'm not saying you said anything offensive. You didn't. I'm just saying you're going to take flack whether you want it or not.
Why am I going to take flack? It's just my personal opinion as well. I think they look shitty.
I agree with you. And I think they look shitty. However, I have seen the new trend on social media is not only to say, not only are they not shitty, but basically screw you for even suggesting that they're shitty. I'm going to wear what I want, which I agree with. You can totally wear what you want. I still hate them.
Right. Nobody's saying you can't. You just look stupid.
But that's what I mean when I said you're going to take flack for it. It's not that you're actually saying anything offensive. Someone's going to, you know, get upset that you said it.
Good. That's kind of the point.
No, but then they'll want to wear it more out of spite.
And the great thing about today, as you mentioned, is that we record everything, so you will never be able to hide the old photos of you wearing mom jeans because they will be on the internet forever.
Yeah, a perfect example of that is, like, today on Instagram, someone, like, posted a bunch of, like, photos of them and their friend and was like, "Thank you for being such a good friend throughout the years." To which the person's response was, "Thank you for putting up with all my awful haircuts." You're inevitably going to hate whatever you were into.
If you're a trend-sucking, like, you know, if you're a trend-hopper, yeah, especially, because you're going to look stupid year after year, decade in, decade out, because you're going to jump onto whatever stupid trend happens to be hot right now.
I may have insight into the mom jeans thing, because I've worn the same cut of jeans since 82?
You wear just, like, basic Levi's or something, don't you, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah, like cowboys wore that shit, so they must have known something, right?
Functional, comfortable. I don't have any idea if they were at ever in any point during that epoch stylish or not.
Yeah, as Eric will attest, I follow your philosophy on fashion. I am a very plain dresser, and people encourage me to dress more fashionably, but I'll admit this much right now. It's kind of a conscious decision. It's probably half conscious decision and half laziness on my part. Because I know that, like, whatever looks good today is going to look absolutely ridiculous 5-10 years from now. And if my photo should happen to resurface with me wearing that crap, I'm going to feel like a trend-following idiot.
Tom, I have gotten on your case about this, but it's for all the reasons you're not stating. It's not that you wear the same clothes. It's that you wear the exact same clothes. Meaning, your body conformation has changed drastically. You've lost a lot of weight, you look great, but you're still wearing your big clothes.
Well, yeah, I just feel like I've got a lot more for my money now. Like, if I get cold, I can wrap my shirt around myself a couple times.
Right.
Layers.
Yeah.
That's nice of you to say, Eric. And I will buy more form fitting, but nevertheless plain and unfashionable clothing going forward.
Buy the same jeans. Buy a black T-shirt. Just, you know, in your size.
But with a Batman logo on it.
With a Batman logo on it, yes. That's important.
Right. Now we've gotten into a final question I think I want to ask. Mom jeans are back. Mom jeans are awful fashion. But mom jeans were an accepted fashion that have resurfaced. My fashion, which is just to not dress very well by anyone's standards, is probably very well represented in the traditional nerd/geek population. So when are we going to get real about embracing nerd culture, as it were, and adopt my way of dress? I think that's a fair question.
Your way of dress is such a fine line because, and we'll have to link this in the show notes, I think everyone remembers the, was it Instagram or Facebook or whatever, the picture series of nerds playing Magic the Gathering that went around so recently.
Was it the one with the ass cracks?
Yeah,
showing?
It was like sweaty ass cracks and like tidy whiteys.
Oh yeah.
You may not like to think this, but that's nerd fashion. Like honest to God, like really, really nerdy fashion.
Oh, like just not paying any attention to the fact that your ass crack's showing?
Yeah.
Okay, I revise my question and put it to you again, guys. When is looking like you just don't give a damn going to become fashionable?
Grunge will come back in about 2017.
When you're recording a podcast.
Well, I'll have you know that my ass crack is not showing. I just confirmed that with a pass-through of my waistband. And recording a podcast in the privacy of your own home is a far cry from being out in public. So wearing a ketchup and mustard stained, really old Dueling Dragons T-shirt from the Islands of Adventure theme park in Orlando, Florida, that's five sizes too small with you, along with a pair of ill-fitting workout pants, is never going to be fashionable. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's pretty much correct. And actually, the one thing that you forgot in all of that when you were talking about the T-shirt specifically is that the print on it has to be huge.
Maybe like gigantic lettering or something like that.
No, whatever design is on there, it can't just be like on the pocket or like a small image on like the shoulder. It can't be fashionable. It has to be the size of the whole shirt. It has to be mega print.
Yeah, that's totally what I'm talking about. I mean, right. I don't know if you remember the old like Universal Studios T-shirts from like the 90s and into the early 2000s. They were essentially like wolf shirts that people wore ironically later, except they weren't worn ironically. They were worn by people who actually thought they were badass and cool.
Yeah, I was thinking of those wolf shirts. That's actually a good point. Did you have any of those on you, Tom?
I probably wore a wolf shirt as a kid because I thought wolves were cool. But am I going to buy one now to like be ironic? No, because being ironic is kind of a dildo-y thing to do, and I don't take pride in being dildo-y.
You're not even actually being ironic. You're being facetious.
You're being flatulent.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just being a dildo at the end of the day.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, I keep promising final question, but now you got me onto one last one. Is a percentage of the people I see walking around with Green Lantern T-shirts on wearing them to be dildos, or do they actually like comics, or are they just being posers? Because I don't know if I'd rather you be a dildo or a poser.
Wasn't Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern?
Yes.
There's your answer.
That is your answer. The other answer is, if you were really into comics, would Green Lantern be your go-to?
No, but I always thought Green Lantern was cool. Like, he's a respectable hero, no?
You can do so much better than Green Lantern.
Right, but Superman's kind of a douche territory now. Like, douche guys have always been wearing a Superman shirt. Like, even before this current trend, I think.
And Batman's getting there, for the record.
Yikes. Right. You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, God. And to revisit the meme rant, I've had enough with the Batman memes. I get it. He's a billionaire, and I'm Batman. Like, oh, God, just stop.
You know, I have one comic book tattoo, and I'm so happy it's a character that will probably never be recognized. Although, the one problem with that is when people do see it, they go, do you have a Spider-Man tattoo? Which, it's not.
What you got?
Madman. Mike Allred's Madman.
Eric, you're too cool for school. You liked comics before everybody else did.
I did. I'm a comic hipster. Let's be honest. I think Brian liked comics before everyone else did.
I'm trying to remember. It was the original run of Transformers, number 24. That was my first comic I ever bought. I'm sure we can look that up and actually compare dates if anyone wanted.
I stole some of my stepsister's boyfriend's Conan comics. Those were the first comics I ever owned because they had boobs and a bunch of violence in them. I think I stole a couple of Thors from him, too. And definitely got way into Nightcrawler for a while there.
First comic was something that was given to me, and I don't remember by who, and it was Ambush Bug.
I can't... First of all, another thing I will never do is pretend knowledge of something in order to act like a cool... In order, essentially, to be a dildo. I will not confess knowledge of Ambush Bug.
You should go back and read it. It's hilarious.
I meant to say profess, but yeah, I will. At your recommendation. Okay, I think you guys have inspired all the questions that are going to be inspired. The geeky bubble will never really burst. It will just sort of... It'll sort of settle back down into the surface of the pop culture pool and be reintegrated, perhaps to rise again in a somewhat different form at some point in the future, right? Is that the bottom line?
Yeah, it'll just take weird, oblong, circular shapes. It won't burst.
In a way, I'm happy about that. I would like the next iteration of the bubble to rise dildo-free from the depths, but unfortunately the dildos are among us and will not be denied their place on the skin of the bubble. Such is life. Anything else to add to this somewhat disjointed and meandering conversation before we adjourn, fellas?
I want wearable tech to become a thing now. The Bluetooth things were really close, but they were usurped by, type A assholes.
Dildos, yep. Uh-huh.
We need to go with, cool, wearable, ornamental tech.
So tech that you would wear as a piece of... as a fashion accessory, but is also functional.
What I want to do is, instead of my cell phone has a SIM card in it or whatever, just take your SIM card out, put it in, the pink earpiece, and wear the pink earpiece with your pink outfit on Tuesday, and then pull your SIM card out and put it in your yellow earpiece and wear your yellow earpiece on your yellow outfit on Thursday.
I like that, Brian, and I am confident that we are going to get there with wearables in the not-too-distant future. I think you're going to get your wish.
I thought you were thinking more along the lines of, Google Glasses and then people imitating and making that better than what it probably is right now.
If we had gone Geordi, cool, but just doofus-looking glasses, no.
I thought you were going more along the lines of Back to the Future, too, and was going to tell you not to worry, we'll be there in, 4 months.
Hell yeah.
Those are pretty sweet.
God, I can't wait to drive down an alley and see it choked full of, big, crushed pallets full of laser discs and CDs with all that media we're using in the year 2014.
I just want my jacket to have a drying mode.
I just want the cool hypercolor metallic textiles.
Those are actually kind of cool. And of course, I will take the obvious self-strapping on super high-top Nikes and the hoverboard, obviously.
But if that weird, oily-looking hypercolor comes back, again, that's just pop culture making that full circle, because we had hypercolor in the 90s. We had those shirts where if you touched them or if you got hot, they kind of changed color.
That is actually... Is it Kitty Pryde or Jubilee I'm thinking of who wore the awesome, bright yellow trench coat?
That's Jubilee.
That was Jubilee.
There you go. It's Jubilee that pioneered that, not Back to the Future. And again, I show my dubious comics credentials when I say that, but I kind of like that. That's something we haven't really seen come into style, so I think we need to go that way. In fact, I think Back to the Future fashion is something that we at the Nerdstravaganza podcast should make every effort to make come about.
You know what the actual next clothing trend will be?
Huh.
And it's probably 8 years out. Is 3D printed clothes.
Ah, that'd be kind of cool, actually. just print your own clothes. So you just have like a textile spools or whatever in your...
I'm assuming at first it'll be like something you go into a store and they print it for you, but literally it'll be made to form fit you. Like, you won't ever have to get anything that's not exactly your size anymore.
Well, you'll be able to make them at home at some point. Like, I if 3D printing really takes off, right now it basically uses the spools of that plastic to make kind of solids. But at some point, you're going to have, like, in a closet somewhere, just a bank of all sorts of different materials, and your 3D printer is going to be able to, like, pull from those spools or those pools or whatever on demand.
I don't even think it's going to be, like, various materials. I think it'll come the same way. Like, we know when you buy a color cartridge for your printer now, and you got various colors and little shoots, I'm convinced you're just going to get, like, this giant box that's going to have all the materials, like, at least at a base level. And, of course, if you're the kind of power user that needs more rubber or more fabric or whatever, then you could obviously up that. But,
well, that's what I'm saying. You just have your 3D printer, like, you know, I said a closet, but whatever. Yeah, you just basically recharge your raw materials bin, and then it just makes things for you. And you order them off the internet, and it prints them for you.
Yeah, but I don't think we're 8 years away from that. I definitely think we're 8 years away from seeing it happening in stores. I would say we're probably about 15 or so to 20 from seeing it in our homes for just about everything.
I agree. I think we will see commercial store applications, and that might actually give the stores a second breath of life, right? Everybody's predicting the doom of retail, but now you can go in and have this stuff custom made by a machine. But I think that'll bring the retail setting back for a little while.
Retail won't die because, one, retail and commercial, at least the larger ones, will always be able to stay ahead of the technology game on the consumer, especially at cost. So I don't see it dying there. And then the other tragic reason why retail won't die is, just like anything else, and it already exists, by the way, I want to point this out, is DRM. Just so you know, DRM for 3D printing already exists. There are already items that you have to purchase because people have licensed their 3D works. In fact, in the MakerBot store, there are licensed pages, like the Sesame Street store, which for like $3 you can 3D print like character figures. But you have to pay for them, and they are protected.
You really think that's going to last?
I mean, people are always going to work around it, but let's be honest. It didn't kill the music industry the way we thought it would. They just had to adapt. They're always going to adapt.
Right. I think you're going to see widespread, like, bootleg knockoff stuff. I don't think it'll kill 3D printing as a movement. And wow, I don't at all not condone the segue or the detour, but how do we get it back onto 3D printing? Something tells me you like 3D printing, Eric.
I hate it. I can't stand it. It makes my fingers hurt.
Brian, Nick, any final words on 3D printing and or its impact on fashion in the distant or not too distant future?
I'm looking forward to having completely, perfectly cut, absolutely out of fashion clothing.
Yes.
I was actually going to agree with that until you said it was kind of out of fashion. But yeah, the perfectly cut kind of thing would definitely work.
I'll be saying, wearing the same cat t-shirt and the same, what are they, 505s, 501s, I don't know, the same cowboy jeans. They'll just fit really, really nicely.
I'm only going to use my 3D printer at Halloween to print out my costumes.
I was going to say, I'm mostly jealous of Tom. For one, even if there is DRM, he's only ever going to have to buy stock
one
black
outfit.
T-shirt model, stock jeans model, stock black sneakers model, and he's finished. And two is, and this is way off base, but I'm still going to go there, Tom is quite literally one of those people that's the easiest to make in any create a character game, because the black shirt and jeans are always like the two items you don't have to pay for, because they just come standard on the character when you first start making them.
Right, because any like right-thinking person, when thinking of a default outfit that would work in any setting, would go with a black t-shirt, jeans, and black and or gray shoes. Yeah. So, what's the problem?
Yeah, no argument.
Cool. Good to know that I'm the fashion default.
On the bright side, you never go out of fashion.
That was the point I was trying to make earlier, and you made it with many fewer words. Right. You find a picture of me from 5 years ago, find a picture from me now, it's me wearing the same crap. And maybe I look dumb then, maybe I look dumb now, but I don't look as dumb as the guy wearing the stuff that looked good then. And I rest my case. All right, guys. Well, I think we beat this topic, such as it was, to death. We beat all the color out of it, or beat additional color into it, however you want to put it. With all that done, I think there's only one thing remaining for us, and that is to tell our listeners, no matter what their preference in hair color is, that they should listen to us on the regular by subscribing to our podcast via iTunes or whatever podcatching software they happen to use, and rating us favorably, writing us great reviews, etc. And for those who don't like that solution, the MP3 download decline solution, as it's called, why don't you check us out on an awesome streaming service known as Stitcher.
Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, join our Google Circle, and join the Nerdtravaganza HQ group on Facebook.
And last but not least, be sure to check out nerdtravaganza.com, and if you have any emails, go ahead and email us at nerdtravaganza@gmail.com.
And I have nothing to add.
You have nothing to add but this, Eric. Take us away.
Are you really putting this one on me?
Yes, because...
I got nothing on this one. I had not prepared for this.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. No?
That's very fashionable.
There you go. And cut. That was good. Eric, I was just trying to put you on the spot, man.
Yeah.
Well, you did a fine job.